loved one who just passed away, it's nothing unusual. And devotees are also not free from the emotions in this world, right? As we are also, we are practicing devotees and we are experiencing the emotions in this life and in this world also, right? So you can see, I just choose just one or two or three shlokas from each section just to stress the points, right? So this is how they reacted, the queens of the King Suyagya. The time was appropriate for the body to be burnt, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body, which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed its movements for setting in the west. So that's usually how the materialist or non-devotee, or sometimes even a devotee, how they can react when their loved one dies. So they can feel very strong attachment, which is actually caused by the bodily consciousness, right? And this bodily consciousness is so strong that even if someone is practicing Bhakti Yoga, he can be overwhelmed by that bodily consciousness for some time, right? What happened, they were lucky, those queens, and because Yamaraj came and he was preaching to them about difference between the body and the soul and the temporary nature of this world, so they got purified a bit by that encounter with Yamaraj, right? While Yamaraj, in the form of a small boy, was instructing all the relatives surrounding the dead body of Suyagya, everyone was struck with wonder by his philosophical words. They could understand that everything material is temporary, not continuing to exist. Right. So that's when you encounter with someone who has higher knowledge. So even materialists, they can get purified and they can improve their situation at that moment. Because this is a very difficult situation, right? Because usually in life, we are cultivating attachments always to something. Being things or people or animals or just the situation we are in, we are cultivating the attachments, right? And the stronger the attachment it is, when it is cut, that attachment, the more pain it causes, right? So they reacted later on when they heard the knowledge from Yamaraj. After instructing all the foolish relatives of Suyagya, Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, disappeared from their vision, and the relatives of King Suyagya performed the ritualistic funeral ceremonies. So that was the consequence, that what usually materialists, what they do, that they engage in some kind of ritual, they try to take care for the dead body of the deceased loved one, and in this way they try to pacify themselves and go in the life. What we can see from the next example is when the neophyte or intermediate devotee, you can see, because you know, it's never like clear vision that someone is like neophyte and then tomorrow you wake up and you become intermediate, right? So let's say the less advanced intermediate devotee encountered death of loved ones, their reaction is pretty much similar. They also feel lamentation, depression, hopelessness, sorrow. You know, it's very similar to
depresia, brezu, ampak rezultat.
When they actually get a chance to hear transcendental knowledge, it's different. The outcome is that they accept the destiny, they start to search for higher knowledge, they start to search for liberation, right? So I choose the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. Maharaj Chitraketu was a devotee, and he had many wives, a big number. He was a king. But none of his wife could give him a son. So what happened later on, he met with Angira Muni, who gave him a blessing that he will have a son who will be source of his great jubilation and also great lamentation. And he performed a yagya, or sacrifice, and one of his wife, she got that blessing from that sacrifice, and she gave his son, Harshashoka, to Maharaj Chitraketu. And Harshashoka grew up a little bit. He was a small boy. And the other queens who didn't have the child, they became, let's say, the king Chitraketu, he paid more attention to his wife who gave him a child. And so they were neglected. They were feeling rising envy in them. So what they did, they made a plot and they poisoned the son. So when the boy died, you can see from the next shloka how Maharaj Chitraketu, although a devotee, how he reacted to the death of his son. Accompanied by his wife who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. Right? And it's, that is whole description, how he was almost get blind by crying and he was completely destroyed, right? He was completely miserable. So, Angira Muni, who actually gave him blessing that he will get this son, he later on appeared there again on that scene when this son was already dead, together at this time with Narada Muni. And they also gave transcendental knowledge, similar like Yamaraj, as in this form of a small boy, gave to this queen. They also gave transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Chitraketu. But the reaction of Maharaj Chitraketu, the outcome was different. You can see that because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Right? So he understood that actually that attachment was causing him a pain. The same thing as Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, when he realized that that attachment to his family is causing him the pain, the disturbance, the distraction which he was feeling, right? Then at that time he surrendered to Krishna. And also, what is interesting, how great personalities, how they are reacting when they meet with someone who is in such a distressed situation. Because remember, Srila Prabhupada, one time he met with the director of a Dainippon, or a printing company in Japan. And when he was on a meeting, the director was somewhat distracted. He was not much participating in the meeting. There was more of them. Of course, there was a board, you know, for company. And the director was somewhat not really cooperating. And Srila Prabhupada asked what was the reason. And they told him that his son just passed away. His son just died. So Srila Prabhupada spoke to him and he told him that the best way, if you want to get your son back, you pray to Krishna. And he told him about Sandipani Muni, who actually asked Krishna to also brought his son back. Right? But there is another incident when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And he was visited by, I think that devotee lady name was Manisha. I'm not 100% sure. And she was Srila Prabhupada with her daughter. Her daughter was maybe 13 or 14 years old or something like that. And the daughter had a cancer or leukemia, some type of deadly disease in very, let's say, final stage, you know. And of course, the daughter was scared, and the mother also, you know. So they came to ask or to look for a shelter, Srila Prabhupada. And the reaction of Srila Prabhupada was quite surprising for them, for me also, when I was reading it. Srila Prabhupada actually was quite strong, and he told them that they should not dive in that bodily consciousness. That they should focus on the chanting of the holy name, they should focus on the service of Krishna, they should understand they are not this body, they don't belong to this material world. And in this way, he actually preached to them. And so that's actually how you can see the difference, right? He was reacting to a non-devotee in one case, and then how he was reacting to a devotee. So from the devotee, it's expected actually that he will sober up much faster. So it's natural that there is some influence in this material. We are all the time influenced. Since you are in material energy, you will be to a certain degree influenced, right? Unless we are completely on the level of Brahma Bhuta, which is described in Bhagavad Gita on the liberated platform, right? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakanchati Samakhsureshu Bhuteshumad Bhaktim Labhate Param. On that level, when we are on the level of Brahman, that means we are free from the modes of the nature. We are not influenced by the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. At that time, we Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma, we are full of happiness, full of joy. Nashochati Nakankshati, we don't lament and or hanker after anything, or lament if we lose something. That means lose also the loved ones, lose something which is dear to us, whatever, right? And Samaksareshu Bhuteshu, we see all living entities on the same level. So unless we are on that platform, we will be to a certain degree influenced by the reactions and activities in this world. Right? So even Maharaj Chitraketu, he was, you can see, as a, and he was a devotee, right? Because when you will read the story, the Angira Muni and Narada Muni, they approached him, they told him that actually you are a great devotee, and it was because we wanted to remove that covering which covered your consciousness temporarily. So you can see that how devotee would react and what will be the outcome of the situation. And then last stage, I choose, let's say, more advanced or highest devotee when they encounter the death of a loved one. When they encounter that situation, their reaction is very different. They are neutral, balanced, equiposed, you know, not really influenced. It's not that they don't feel it, but they don't let their feelings to influence their decisions or their behavior. Because the strength of the spirit is more dominant than the strength of the mind and the intelligence. Because, well, let's say intelligence and mind are already purified to the degree that they are not influencing the consciousness of that personality. And the outcome? They accept everything as a mercy of the Lord, and they further surrender to the Supreme Lord. I choose the story of Narada Muni when he was living with his mother in the ashram, and they were serving Bhaktivedantas, the devotees who stopped there for 4 months season, and during the rainy season. So what happened to Narada Muni later on, when the Bhaktivedanta, when he left? Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent influenced by the supreme time. At that time, Narada Muni was like 5 years old, you know, so he was a small boy. Many of you here, you have a children, right? So you know children around that age, 5 or something like that. They are very much attached to their parents. So we can see how Narada Muni, in the body of 5 years old and child, how he, but the devotee at the same time, already quite advanced according to his reaction, how he reacted to that situation. I took this as a special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. So that's how very advanced devotee reacts or see the situation. So you can see the difference between less advanced or neophyte devotee and very advanced is that less advanced devotee or beginning of intermediate stage, which can be the majority of us, they can sometimes be influenced by that reaction, and they can even fall down for a moment on the material platform. And they can even see that situation as some kind of test from Krishna. But very advanced devotee sees the same situation as the mercy of Krishna, because he always sees this as an opportunity, right? So whatever actually happens in our life is opportunity to advance more in the spiritual life. Right. Narada Muni, he took this opportunity to the fullest, and then this, of course, this is his life before he became Narada Muni. And then he became later on when he passed away, then next life he became son of Brahma, and he started to travel all around the universe and became great Narada Muni, right, as we know him. So the opportunity is for a devotee who is actually very advanced or who is very sincere, he will seize the opportunity in every situation in life. And of course, maybe it didn't happen to us that someone who is very dear to us already died. Actually, me personally, I didn't experience that. That someone who was very dear to me that died or something like that. I had, of course, when my grandfather died. So I was quite attached to him and like that. But it was not so strong, I would say. And because, I mean, at least my reaction was not so strong as described in these stories. But what I think that many situations which we experience in the life, they are like a small training field on this difficult situation which will come, which is or death of our loved one or our own death. Right? So we are experiencing every day some more or less unpleasant situation, because every living entity will encounter one type of suffering, which is adibhautika, adiatmika, adidaivika klesha, which is or from this material, from this nature, right, from the catastrophes, pandemic, right. We have now COVID. What is COVID-19? Right, this is the higher influence. We cannot. You can see how they are trying to fight it. They are trying. They don't know what to do, because you cannot beat the nature. Nature is more powerful than us. That's the reaction, right? They are trying to make so many measures, but you cannot escape it. Even if you put so many restrictions, still the nature can overpower it. Right? Srila Prabhupada is giving another example that sometimes, because this was in King Chitraketu, he was supposed to be, potent, but his wife, they were infertile. So he couldn't have child. And sometimes it's mentioned that even if there is contraception, still sometimes child is born, right? So the nature is very powerful, and it's difficult to conquer it or overcome it completely. So the same way, we can see that they are trying so many measures nowadays for this COVID-19, and they are making so many restrictions, and it is going out of their hands. How is it possible? Because it's more powerful. It's above us. This is, what is it? Adidaivika klesha. Daiva. Daiva means something godly, something superior, something divine, right? Something demigods. They are controlling. And then adiatmika, it's the suffering from our own body and from our own mind, right? This we are also experiencing when we get sick or when we feel some trouble in the mind, like that. And adibhautika klesha is suffering from other living entities, right? From the neighbor, from the mosquitoes, right? Whatever. So we will always experience some type of this suffering on some kind of level. So we cannot escape it. So just that depends just how we see that. Should we choose the first level? Just the materialist, right? Who just goes with the flow and he's trying to get a little pacified at the moment. That's what happened with those queens when the King Suyaga, when he died. Right? They get pacified for a moment and then hoping that the next time it will be better. Right? That's what is the material way of life, that you are all the time hoping that it will, once you will remove all these small problems, the life will become perfect, right? Just this one small thing is lacking, so I will remove this and then life will be just perfect. So this is this material way of life. Or we can choose the devotee way, that we will accept these opportunities or these difficult situations as a training field, as a way to progress, right? So Prabhupada said that every success is built by small failures. So it's natural that in the life you'll be encountering difficulties. It just depends on the opportunity, how we accept that difficulty, and how we will treat it, this situation. So even if some, let's say, if someone who we loved very much, he left this world, we cannot bring them back, but we can utilize that situation to make further spiritual progress. Because at one point, we will also have to go. There is no question of staying here, right? So it's just a question of a time. And that what will happen at the time of the death, that will be determining our next situation. Yamemba apismaram bhavam te jante ante kalevaram tam tame vaitikam teya sadatat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever you think at the time of the death, that will determine your next destination. And is it chaiva karma chame divan evamyovete tyaktvataha tyakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjuna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if someone thinks of me at the time of the death, if he understands that my activities and my birth in this world are transcendental, then he will not be born anymore in this world. So this whole life, it's like a small, let's say, training field. And whatever situation we are encountering is just training us to become more advanced. Even materialists, actually suffering in this material existence serve as a purificatory element. That means it purifies the existence. Even if someone is not devotee, if he suffers, he'll get purified. But till he will come to the point of a knowledge, the journey is much longer, right? But, and just in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that ahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapariyate, that those who are actually trying to search after transcendental knowledge after many, many lives. Bahunam, bahu means many, janmanam ante. Janma is birth and ante is death, right? Or end. So after many births and deaths, the one who is actually really endowed with knowledge, he understands that Krishna Vasudeva Saramitasa Mahatma Sudurlaba, that Vasudev is the goal of everything. So, and what to speak of not person who is not trying to get the knowledge, a person who is not endeavoring for transcendental knowledge, he will come to that point maybe also, but it can take much, much more longer. So as the one who is actually, who got the message from, right, we are reading books of Srila Prabhupada, we have association with devotees, even in these restricted times. Now we are meeting here online and we can still discuss about Krishna, about transcendental life, about the difference between the body and the soul, difference between matter and the spirit, right? So the bhakti, the devotional service to Krishna, it's not limited by any material circumstance. So every situation, even like this, you can say more difficult times, right? With nowadays this pandemic and so many restrictions and also insecurity, people are losing jobs maybe, you know, and material insecurities and like that. So it's, we can see it as an opportunity. Instead of letting ourselves to be influenced by that situation, letting ourselves to be influenced by circumstances, we can see it as an opportunity to make progress in spiritual life. Now traveling is restricted a lot, on even the gatherings in temples and like that. I saw that now there was a kirtan in the beginning of the class, and there were like 3 devotees, right? Usually when there is a regular Sunday feast, there is maybe already 60, 70, maybe even more, 100 devotees. Now it's not like that. But these material restrictions cannot restrict us on this platform, on a spiritual platform. And how we will be reacting to those situations, this is only our choice. We have freedom to a certain degree. It is said that we as a spirit, as a soul, we inherited qualities of Krishna. Right? So And one of the quality of Krishna is that Krishna has a free will to do things. But because we are small, we are Anu, right? So that free will is also limited, is also small. So we don't have unlimited free will. Krishna is Swarad. He can do whatever he wants, right? He can do as he desires. But we can decide if we go the material way or the spiritual way. That's our free will, let's say, how it goes. Once we make the decision that we go material way, we will have to face the consequence. And if you make decision to go the spiritual way, you could say you will have to also face the consequence. But of course, these consequences are different. Right? They differ. So that depends how we will use that free will, which was given to us by Krishna. And if we will choose to make spiritual progress, then we will be free from the influence of the material energy. And that's actually what we are looking for. Majority, all of us, living entities who are in this material existence, they are looking for the happiness. Ananda Maya Vyasat. We are, by nature, we are, because we are part of Krishna, and Krishna is supremely blissful, we are also happy. But it's covered by the material energy, so we are looking for it. So if we just choose to look for it on the spiritual platform, that kind of happiness, it's guaranteed. It cannot be taken away. Because material happiness is that also, right? Otherwise, people will not be endeavoring. So there is some type of material happiness. And we are trying to achieve it. But to achieve that material happiness, you have to fulfill so many conditions to keep it somewhat on the level that you are enjoying. And if one condition goes wrong, then same thing, which is the cause of happiness, can turn in the cause of a distress. Right? Whatever example, I don't know. You buy a new car. You like it, right? You're enjoying it. But at the same time, if you have an accident, you can injure yourself, you destroy the car, right? So whatever happiness we get in material existence, it always comes with the package of a distress. It never comes like a pure, let's say, unalloyed happiness. In material platform, the happiness is always mixed. So whenever we want to enjoy, we have to always carry with this that there will be also some suffering in it. Later on, sooner or later, it will come. Right? So that's the nature of the material happiness. Happiness is there, but it doesn't work. Spiritual happiness is different. Right? We can enjoy it, and we are not so much also depending on a material, on, let's say, external circumstances. So we can choose what level we will be experiencing our life. So these three levels, actually, is, let's say, non-devotee and then neophyte and intermediate and, let's say, more intermediate and very advanced or highest devotee. You can see this can be also the lifestyle the person can live, and accordingly, he will also be encountering different situations in life and experiencing different life experience. Hare Krishna. I think I covered whatever I wanted to say for today.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hvala. Now it's time for questions. So possibility is that somebody sent questions on chat, or you can read by yourself, or I'll read, or he just say, or she just say online. Se pravi, dragi bakte, zdaj je čas za vprašanje, tako da izvolite, če ima kdo kakšno vprašanje ali misel, lahko kar poveste v živo ali pa ne pišete v chat, v slovenščini ali angleščini, kakor pa želite. Tako da izvolite.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, may I ask one question?
Of course, Hare Krishna.
Hare Prabhu. So, what what we can do for our loved ones after they pass away? You know, is anything we as devotee can do what we couldn't do did well while these people were alive, let's say? Some suggestion for our tradition or...
There are several things. There are some, let's say, some practical moral things. One thing is that we can put the picture of that person on the altar also, under the altar, not directly with Krishna, but under the altar. And we can offer to that person prayers, pray to the Lord that he will protect that soul. Depends also what kind of that person was. If this person was a very advanced devotee, then we should pray to him that he will protect us. Because his destination is much higher. But I remember discussing with Panga Jangri and Janani Vasprabhu in Mayapur that when the devotee passed away, what we did, we prepared a feast in his honor, and we also put one place, one more seat for that devotee, for that person. Or it doesn't have to be devotee, even non-devotee. We just put one more place for sitting and prepared one plate, full plate, with a meal on that spot. And because it was Mahaprasadam, and we offered to that person who passed away that meal. This actually happened because just one of friend of mine, he passed away, so I asked them if you can do something like that. And of course, then that meal, which supposed to be touched or eaten by that soul of that deceased person, you can dispose it somewhere in the forest, you know, or something like that. So this is, let's say, some practical things we can do, right? And at the moment, immediately when this person passed away, if we are present at that person when this person passed away, or nearby, or we can reach the body, we can always put some Ganga water and tulsi leaves on it. And this, right, we know from Gita Mahatmya that Ganga water, even after 2 or 3 days, when the soul was already gone from the body, when they sprinkle water with the body, with the Ganga, the soul was still benefited by that, right? So there are some, let's say, practical ways. And the best way, of course, for the loved ones, if they are even like very closely connected, if they are family, is that we become better devotees. Because whatever devotional service we execute, our family members, they are benefited by that. Right? This is described that, even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explained that family members from Kanishtha Adhikari who achieve perfection, they, I think it's 3 generations front and back, they are benefited. From Madhyama Adhikari, I think 14 generations, it was bigger number. And then from Uttama Adhikari is 100 generations front and back. Those generations who will come in the future and those who have been in the past. So the best way actually, I remember when my father passed away, that... because I didn't have the opportunity to go for funeral because I was in another country and it was complicated to get there at the time. And so I was thinking that the best actually way what I can do for him is to execute devotional service in the best way I can do, and because he is benefited. And this Jivas, there is a story of Jananda Prabhu's mother. You know, Jananda Prabhupada disciple? So his mother, she was in her last days in the hospital. And at that hospital, by coincidence, was working a devotee. She was a nurse there in that hospital. And when she was going to work that day, when the mother was, you know, in her last day, I think it was her last day, some voice was telling her before she went to the job, put a tilak on. And she was like, why are we putting tilak on? I'm going to work. I'm usually here in the West, we don't have that habit. Right? But she said, no, I just go. And then the voice became stronger. And she said it like 2 or 3 times before she reached the door in the house, told her, like, put the tilak on. She said, okay. She put the tilak on, you know, and she went to work. And then she entered the room and this mother from Jananda Prabhu was there surrounded, and they were also the family members that were at the time were there, you know. And then when she entered the room, she saw this nurse with the tilak on. She said, "Oh, Jayananda sent you," or Johnny, or I don't know, I don't remember exactly how, you know. So she, "Oh, you are here." And so you can see that actually how she was taken care, even the mother of a devotee. Well, she was not really a devotee, she was favorable. But, how she was taken care for, right? Just because Jananda was a great devotee. So even at the time of death, he sent a devotee that she could see someone with the tilak of the forehead and like that, and she could remember, right? Her son who was a devotee, she could remember Krishna, you know, like that. So yeah, that's, I think, are the best ways how that we can do. If you have Rukh Ram Prabhu something else to add.
No, thank you, Prabhu, very much for your wonderful answer. I will give an opportunity to others to ask. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, there is one more question already on the chat. Maybe the best you can see it by yourself. Okay. It's in English. You can maybe also repeat in English.
I'll read it. Other one. How would you approach to a person who lacks belief in the existence of God, and right before that person leave the body, ask, "Why is this happening to me? Is God punishing me?" How you approach a person who lacks belief in the existence of God, when right before that person leave the body, ask, "Why is this happening to me? Is God punishing me?" Yeah, that's the natural reaction, right? That's the natural reaction of a materialist or even neophyte devotee. He'll be blaming Krishna. He'll be blaming God for what is happening to him. It depends, you know. Some people, when this difficult situation happens, they become open-minded. Some not. You know? So, I would say, this is difficult to give like a general answer. That's the expertise of a devotee. More you are advanced, more you can discriminate who is in front of you and in what life moment or situation he is in, and what you can tell him. Because you have people who are in the situation, you can explain to them the karmic law, and it will help them very much to understand that actually they are not being punished by God, but they are punishing themselves by their own activities, right? But then you have people who, if you will tell them, because I had a friend, and he was actually witness of one big accident with several people died. It was somewhere in, I don't know, many years back in Austria, there was some accident in the mountains. And he was quite disturbed by that. So when I met him later on, when he spoke about it, so I was already devotee. And I explained, I tried to tell him about karmic law and like that. And he was even more disturbed. Right? So he was not really pacified by that. So there is not existing, like I told you, remember this example with Prabhupada, when he reacted completely different way in almost same situation, right? When there was some immediate danger or death of a loved one. So there are actually general behavior, or let's say behavior which we put according like certain categories, is usually when we don't know how to discriminate. But if we learn how to discriminate, or by practice of Krishna consciousness, we also learn the psychology of the people and the mentalities and the philosophy, we know better, then we can much better apply what to actually tell to these people at that moment. So there's not really a general answer that, oh, to this person you can tell him like this, and this person you can tell him like this, because some people, they will react way different. You know? Some people, they will appreciate. I remember when I was distributing books, I met several times people who their loved one died very recently, or the same day was it, or the day before, or something like that. And some of them, they didn't want to hear anything about anything spiritual or transcendental. And some of them, they were very much receptive, and they took books, and they were very much grateful and like that. You know? I remember even one friend of mine, when he was distributing books, the person died, who took the book, he died on the spot in front of him. Right, and then later on he met with the daughter of that person. I met her also later on, and so she was actually reacting very nicely, because her father was a lot into spiritual things, and she was also into it a lot. So also depends on the background of the person. Maybe someone is thinking that God is punishing me, but his background is that he's somewhat spiritually inclined. But someone thinks God is punishing me, and he's completely against any spiritual background. So it's difficult to say what will be the ideal reaction. It depends from the person to person. I hope is this answer your question. This is Sabina asking here. Right. And here is one more, Abhinandan Prabhu.
Yes, please just read it.
How do you treat yourself when you yourself lack the devotion? It means you sincerely want to be devoted, but you feel you are not enough. How you treat yourself, it depends where you take shelter. When we have troubles or difficulties, or sometimes not just the troubles or difficulties, but even when we feel great, when the life is going great, where we take shelter, right? If life is not going great or going great, where are we taking shelter? In the chanting of the holy name? If life is going great, are we utilizing it that we can do more service for Krishna with easy mind? Or when the life is not going great, are we taking it as opportunity to become more absorbed in the spiritual topics and chant holy name, the Krishna's name, with more sincerity? That depends where we are taking shelter, in what. So I would say this, how I would treat myself, that I would try to take more shelter in Krishna. If the difficulties come, and of course everybody had difficulties, I had also. And I remember when there were some situations, some moments in life, and they were not so easy. At the end, I was forced by Krishna to take shelter in. And usually what I do a lot, I try to read Bhagavad Gita, very concentrated, and try to understand every word, what it says there. Not just the sentences or the chapters, but every word. And also try to chant maybe some extra rounds and like that. So these moments actually can make you to be more devoted. So, you know, devotion is even in a neophyte stage, in Kanishtha Adhikari, there can be moments of manifested pure bhakti. Right? There are examples in the Shastra, in the scriptures, of devotees who were on neophyte stage, and they manifested pure devotion. And when you manifest that anyabhilashta shunam, kyana karma, that not mixed bhakti, when you manifest that, at that moment you will start to feel transcendental happiness. These are the first symptoms of pure bhakti. There are six symptoms of pure bhakti. And on the Vaidisarana bhakti, on the regulated, let's say, devotional service, which we all practice with the rules and regulations, the first two are that it is beginning of all auspiciousness, and you feel you start to feel the relief of material distress. These are the first two symptoms which all, let's say, sadhakas, or let's say practitioners who are even in the beginning stage, can experience. More the bhakti is pure, more is unmotivated and not mixed with other things, more you can feel the influence of these two symptoms: decrease of material distress and beginning of all spaciousness. So yeah, that's how we can treat ourselves with these answers. It's difficult because you cannot really see the person who is even asking. I would have to scroll through this.
Yeah, I mean, she's here, Anita. I don't know if you see her. I see her.
Let me see if it is somewhere.
Mogoče tudi ostali, če prižgete kamere, da bo bolj osebno, da bomo videli. Aha, Marcel se je pojavil. ima še kdo kakšno vprašanje? Imamo še kakšno par minut časa? Aha.
Thank you for inspiring lecture.
How much, there is another question similar to before.
How much is it in our power to influence our...
Tirthakara Prabhu is closing the microphone, Marsh.
Yeah, oh, I mistake. I don't know how it happened. How much is it in our power to influence our reaction in the case of the death of Nirvana? What can we do to react as optimal as possible if we are still strongly in material platform? Association in the life, it's essential, every association. In material platform, if you want to be good in something, you have to take that association. And if you want to be somewhat more situated in spiritual platform, you have to take association of spiritual advanced devotees. And we were in South India, we were staying there for a while. We stayed in a house, I think, for 2 or 3 months of two sisters, special persons, actually. They were new devotees at that time. Yeah, they were already initiated at that time, but they were not long initiated. They were pretty new devotees. But because we lived with them, we observed they were actually very, very nice devotees. And they, both of them, chanted 64 rounds every day. And really chanting, not just making sometimes mumbling, you know, ram ram, giri giri, no, something like that. They really chanted nicely, like Hare Krishna, you know, nice pronunciation. 64 rounds, they were chanting all day. These two, they were older ladies, maybe in their 60s or something like that. What happened there? Their brother died, and he was going with a bus from Trichy, I think this is around 3 or 4 hours drive from Salem. So when he was going on the bus, he left the body on the bus, he died on the bus. So what happened? They brought the body to the hall, to the house, you know, there. And then South India is quite strong, these cultural things they have there, you know. So when someone in family dies, there's supposed not to be any guests, you know, and the family goes into some sorrow kind of for, I think, 11 days or something like that. Well, they have some of their procedures. And these two sisters, although they were from that cultural background, when they brought this body, the body was lying there in the middle of the room. And they called us, you know, because we were also in the house in upper floor. They called me and my wife. And they called us at... And there came also some people from the village, and they started to lament there because they knew him. And, all the, and this is also some kind of part of culture. They start to lament, you know. Like that. And then she asked, can you do kirtan and can you do Bhagavad Katha for the benefit of this departed soul and also for the benefit of those who came here? You know? So, yeah. Association, Sangha, association with devotees, with advanced devotees, Srila Prabhupada, when we listen to his lectures. And, or we meet with some devotees personally, and we can take their shelter, and that's, I think, the best. And any platform, not just material platform. Yeah. Who is asking? Marcel. Yeah. I hope this answers. Okay, I think.